Good morning. Thank you for sharing this time with us at MCC. If you are here for the first time, you'll find this is a great place to be loved and to experience Jesus. And speaking of being loved, on behalf of Pastor Jeff and myself and our families, let us say thank you for your many, many gestures and expressions of love and appreciation during this past month of pastor appreciation. It's overwhelming, and it means so much. This morning, before I do that, you can see this backdrop. That's our living flag. How many of you have seen the living flag this year already? Okay. We have one more presentation. That will be tonight at 7 o'clock. And then tomorrow night, if you could come by around 5 or when you get off work and can get over here, we're going to be taking all this down and storing it back upstairs. That's a big job. A lot of hands and feet will make that go quickly and a lot easier. So put that on your calendar if you got a little bit of time tomorrow night. Stop by and help us out. This morning we are continuing our series, Ghost Stories. It's a study about the Holy Ghost, or more commonly referred to as the Holy Spirit of God. Most of us probably have a couple of spooky campfire ghost stories that we keep in our back pockets for our entertaining our friends. But what about stories of the power of God and the working of His Holy Spirit in our lives? Do you have those stories? We began this series last week sharing about how in times past, recorded times in the Old Testament, that the Spirit of God was with God's people. At certain times and in certain places, He was with them. But His Spirit also left His people. Even the name Emmanuel meant God with us. And in the person of Jesus, indeed, God was with us. But He left. He ascended back to the Father. And then something beautiful, something amazing happened. He gave us His Holy Spirit to live in us. For the repentant, baptized believer, the presence and power of His Spirit is no longer just a cameo appearance in our lives. He is now a constant companion on our life's journey. This ghost story series, it's not meant to start a lot of debates about the Holy Spirit, nor is it meant to set anybody straight and make you believe the way and the things that I do. It's simply meant to be a Bible-based look at the Holy Spirit and see what the Holy Spirit is up to in our world and in our lives. So we want to get back to it. Last week, we looked at the Holy Spirit in you. This week, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit through you. I have with me today a bottle of water. But I want you to know, this is not your typical, average, ordinary bottle of water. In fact, I want you to take a moment. Look at it. Study it. I know it's hard to see, but kind of look at it. Let me get that old nasty part there away. Just this little bottle of water. And I want you to think about, what type of water is that? What type of water did that old crazy preacher bring up here today? And then, on the count of three, I want you to be bold, and I want you to turn to the person next to you and tell them what type of water you think is in this bottle. Got it? Okay? One, two, three. Oh. Hey, that's some pretty great answers I heard you mumbling there. Distilled water, sparkling water, stolen water. Well, listen, I'm thrilled to present to you today a bottle of rainwater. And not just any rainwater. This rainwater was captured running off the roof of our shed and collected in 4 Johnson household rain barrels. We've used that rainwater all summer to water our garden. This is Johnson household rain barrel water. And I'm glad to share it with you today. Now you might say, that's not all the rain that fell off your roof there on that shed. Well, of course not. It's not all the rain that fell. But it is all rain. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not all the rain that fell, but this is all rain that fell. I bring this up because we're talking about this wonderful and amazing gift from God. If you have repented of your sins and been baptized into Him, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. Now, do you have all of God in you? Well, of course not. There's plenty of God to go around. But what you have is all God in you. Pure, undeleted, high-octane God living in you. I love how Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? Now, that's not all God living just in you. I wouldn't have any. But all of God's Spirit that is living in you is all God. It's not a little bit of God, a little bit of David, a little bit of Mike, a little bit of your wife, a little bit of... It's all God. God doesn't live in temples built by men anymore. He doesn't live in an auditorium like this. The Bible says He lives in you. And when God gets in you, through the presence of His Holy Spirit, there is always going to be power evidenced in your life unlike anything in this world. Every athlete, every business owner, every service man or woman, no matter what walk of life we're in, we're always looking for that competitive edge, that extra power to excel, to win. Well, here's the thing. We Christians believe the Holy Spirit is that competitive edge given to us by God. And He is that power that God puts inside of us so we can prevail, so we can overcome, so we can win in the Christian life. Jesus told His disciples to go back and wait for the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem after He left. And He said, wait, because when the Spirit comes upon you, you will receive what? Power. Power. Let's take a moment and look at several places in the Bible where the power comes from the Holy Spirit and His presence in people's lives. Now, these references, again, are listed on your outline, so you can follow up with them later, read the whole section. But just give you a quick overview. Judges chapter 14, verse 6, that's talking about Samson. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands, as he may have torn a young goat. And then that next verse is kind of interesting. It says, and he told neither his mother nor his father what he had done. Young people, here's a hint for you. If you go around tearing open lions like little goats, don't tell your parents. Especially your mama. They just really don't get that, okay? 1 Samuel 16, it says that Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David powerfully. Isaiah 11:2 is a prophecy about Jesus. And it says, when He comes, there will be counsel and understanding, and there will be power. Luke chapter 1, verse 35, it's the angel with Mary, and he's telling her she's going to have this baby, and he says it's going to happen even though she's a virgin, because the Holy Spirit will come upon her in power. Luke 4:14, Jesus just beginning his ministry, and as he says, he returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Acts 1:8, we mentioned Jesus tells his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the Spirit to come upon them, and there will be power. Power to stand up boldly, to be his witnesses to the whole world. 1 Corinthians 12:2, Paul is talking about his preaching, and he says, when I preach, it is not with wise and persuasive words. It's a demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God. 2 Timothy, Paul is again speaking to Christians, and he says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. You see, the Holy Spirit equals power in your life. When you get the Spirit of God in you, you get power in your life. So here's the question. In what ways should a Christian expect the Holy Spirit to display or dispense His power in your life? What evidences should there be in a Christian's life that the power of God is inside you? Do you really believe and feel like you're living every day in the Spirit in power? I want to share several of them with you this morning, several things you can expect as evidence of His Holy Spirit in your life. And the first one is this. The Holy Spirit gives believers the power to speak and to lead boldly. When you know who is with you, it gives you boldness and it gives you power. In the book of Acts, chapter number 4, there's this guy named Peter. He's been preaching now since the day of Pentecost that we spoke about last week. And he's getting really bold. In fact, he and some of his buddies have just healed a man who had been crippled for a long time. So Peter is really stirring things up and he gets arrested. He gets arrested for talking about Jesus and healing this man. He's brought before some of the most powerful leaders of that day. And filled with the Holy Spirit, it says, he speaks and he leads in a very bold way. Listen to this, beginning at verse number 8. You need to look this up in your Bible. Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people. These are the elders and rulers of the people. If we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this. You and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Burn. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Then notice verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. It's true, these men have been traveling around with Jesus for the last few years, but at this time in history, Jesus is gone, remember? He's not with them anymore. So notice where all this courage and boldness comes from. It started out saying Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever feel like you need the power to speak boldly with people? Maybe at work or school or at a party with friends, maybe with your neighbor, even on social media. You know those moments that pass and leave you almost kicking yourself. I wish I had spoken up. I wish I had said something. We're quickly heading into the holiday seasons. Thanksgiving is just over 3 weeks away. Can you believe it? Where did this year go? Christmas is just 7.5 weeks away. Some of you haven't even started your Christmas shopping yet. For a lot of us, that means a lot of get-togethers and a lot of parties. Family get-togethers, office get-togethers, school parties, church parties, get-togethers with friends. Sometimes there are so many of them we have to pick and choose which we can and cannot make. And that means there are going to be a lot of conversations. Most of them frivolous and meaningless, some easy, some are going to be tough. There will be a lot of opinions giving politically, religiously, socially, work-related, fashion-related. Some about social media, some about sports, and some about issues in our world. And all of them are going to be filled with opportunities to stand up and speak the truth in love. And I want you to know the Holy Spirit can and will give you the ability to speak boldly when you need to. Rely on that. Know that that is there for you. Sometimes when you speak boldly, you're going to get in trouble. And luckily for us, the second thing the Holy Spirit gives believers is the power to endure suffering and pain. That's one of the primary purposes of the Holy Spirit, to come alongside us when we're hurting or grieving or when we need help. In Acts chapter number 6, the church is growing rapidly. And the 12 disciples that Jesus set up to lead the church simply can't do it all anymore. There are too many people, there's too much to handle, too much to do. So they instruct the church to choose 7 more men to help them out. Now, one of those 7 men chosen is a man named Stephen. In Acts chapter 6, Stephen immediately starts preaching. And he starts doing all kinds of miraculous things. And in Acts chapter 7, Stephen also gets arrested. He gets called before, like, the Supreme Court of his day. And he preaches a bold message to them, just like Peter did in Acts chapter 4. Peter was released and told not to preach anymore in this name of Jesus, but not Stephen. Look at Acts chapter 7 in your Bibles. We'll start reading at verse 54 down toward the end of the chapter. Verse 54 in Acts 7 begins, "When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him." Now that's mad. You ever been that mad? Just fist just doubles up. "But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. 'Look,' he said, 'I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.'" Oh, well, that really made everybody happy. Look what happens. At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Got that scene set in your mind? Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. God will get a hold of Saul later. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. How did he face that? What did it say? Stephen being full of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, I highly doubt that any of us are going to be dragged out of any party and get stoned. Well, not like this. And I hope none of you do the other way either. But we all experience pain. We all experience suffering. And it's because it's just a part of being human. Cancer, heartaches, Disease, accidents, suicides, war steal our loved ones. Lies, bullying, disappointments, abuse, verbal, physical, and emotional crush our spirits. And there is no doubt in my mind, it is God in the presence of His Holy Spirit in us that gives us the power to go through our difficult times, challenging times. It is His Spirit in us that gives us the power to endure suffering and pain of such magnitude. Pastor Jeff works with junior high and senior high school students all the time. He can tell you how true it is that many of our students are slammed and ridiculed for their Bible-based beliefs. So many of their friends who have not been taught and who do not hold to a biblical worldview. What do you mean you're not going to have sex? That's what everybody does. What do you mean you're not going to cheat on a test? Everybody cheats. What do you mean you're not going to lie to your parents? Everybody lies to their parents. It's a game and we always win. What do you mean you won't even try this drug? Everybody tries drugs. I have permission to tell this. Mike and Wilma, how old is Noah? How old is Noah? 12. Noah's 12 and he's in what grade? 6th grade. Came home from school. That was mom and dad. Mom in science, we're studying the Big Bang. And in history, we're studying Egypt. And all those false gods that they had in Egypt. And then he said, God is not going to be happy with this. So many of our young students get slammed for their Bible-based beliefs almost every day. And the same is true for some adults as well in the workplace. For some, the same is true at home. Listen, young people and adults alike, I know it is only the Holy Spirit in your life that will empower you to get through some of those difficult days. But always remember 1 John 4:4, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Here's the third thing the Holy Spirit gives to believers: understanding. Specifically, understanding into the truths of God's Word. Turn real quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So a little lengthy passage here, so turn to that and read with me or listen carefully. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him, these are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. Now, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. They cannot understand them because they are not discerned, because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. Now, I know that's a chunk of Scripture, but let's look at it just a moment. I hope this gets you stirred up enough to go home and look at it some more. The passage here is saying the Bible is written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And if you understand the truth in this book, that is evidence that God's Spirit is in you, because only the Spirit of God can help you understand the truths of the Bible. People look at several places in the Bible, first of all, Revelation, and they'll say, but it's just so hard to understand. Well, it's not if the Holy Spirit is leading you. That's part of what He gives for believers, is understanding of God's Word. If you're reading the Scriptures, or if you're listening in a class, or even if Pastor Jeff or I am preaching, and all of a sudden, you know, the light goes on, you get it, it makes sense to you now, it's also clear to you, that's not because I'm so smart. I promise. It's not because I've chosen just the right words, or I told the right stories, or picked the right illustrations. That's the evidence of the Holy Spirit in you. When His Word is preached, when His Word is taught, when His Word is read, when His Word is studied, it is the Holy Spirit's job to give you understanding. And many of you know what I'm talking about. One of the most powerful purposes of the Holy Spirit is to help people understand God's Word. Listen to this. In a nutshell, this is what our passage we just read is saying. You must have the Spirit of God to understand the truths of God. If you're not a Christian, and yet you say, well, I think I've got a pretty good idea what it's saying, Pastor David. I've never given my life to Jesus. I don't think I've ever been filled with the Holy Spirit. But I understand what you're preaching. I'm filling in the blanks on my outline. Now, let me say this to you. You may grasp the information, but you won't experience the transformation. Here's the fourth and final thing we want to study today. The Holy Spirit gives to believers leadings and promptings. As a Christian, a baptized, Holy Spirit-filled Christ follower, you should have these little promptings and pushes in your life almost daily. Haven't you ever felt that God was nudging you toward something? I know promptings and leadings of God in your life may seem mysterious, and I'm not sure where they fit into your theology. But doesn't it make sense that if God lives inside you, not all of God, but all God in you, and if God lives in us by the presence of His Holy Spirit, doesn't it make sense that He's going to nudge you and prompt you many times? Sometimes it's negatively, I don't want to go to that computer site. I don't want to go to that movie. I don't want to watch that show on TV. I don't want to read that material. I don't want to be with those people. I don't want to try that drink. I don't want to. And you say, well, I don't care what you want. Well, you better. He's in you. You're taking Him with you everywhere you go. He sees everything you see. He goes and He does everything you're doing. He's with everybody you're with. And sometimes that nudging is, I really don't want to go. I know those of you who have children know, and we sometimes forget we once were little children. And there were times, weren't there, when we just said, I don't want to go. I won't go there. Do we have to go? You probably have dozens of stories of God's nudging you now and then. Sometimes you listen to them. Sometimes you don't. But listen, when it comes to leadings and promptings from God, there's no such thing as big ones and little ones. There is only obedience and disobedience. Mindy, where'd you light? Can I tell a little story on you here? I usually ask permission before I do this. I'll just ask you to forgive me. I remember Mindy coming one day. This has been several years ago. And she said she was driving down the street and just felt sometimes she needed to stop by and see, I believe it was Shirley. I just need to. So she did. What a great visit. What great things came from that. Haven't you been there? I just feel the Spirit says I need to pray for this person. I need to text this person. I need to email this person. I need to call this person. I need to just say, hey, I just had you on my heart, and I just want you to know I'm thinking about you and praying about you today. And sometimes you get an immediate response, oh, you have no idea what that meant for me. I can promise you there is power when you obey the promptings of God. So here's our takeaway. This is the action point. This is what I want us to take home. Obey one leading or prompting of the Holy Spirit this week. It could be as easy as sending someone an email or text message. It could be buying a $20 gift card at Meijer's for a family who needs groceries. Maybe you should give somebody your car. You're thinking, I sure hope not. I don't know what God is or will prompt you to do this week. Perhaps He's already been prompting you, and now you're ready to listen. I felt God telling me this for a long time, and I keep saying no. I wave it off. I just go on. That's our takeaway. Obey one leading or prompting of the Holy Spirit this week. Maybe for some of you this morning, you are reinvestigating the church, or you're new to MCC and you're feeling the prompting of the Holy Spirit to take that next step, to be baptized, to place membership in a place like this, to place a place to be loved and experience Jesus, a place to add your talents and gifts to the kingdom work. And you know what the Holy Spirit's nudging you to do for your family, for your marriage, for your kids, possibly. Just commit to obey one prompting or leading of the Holy Spirit this week. And maybe He's prompting you to obey it now. And that's why we offer an invitation. If you feel the Spirit leading you this morning, we invite you to come. As we stand and as we sing, would you come? Father God, as we're standing together now, we just pray that Your Spirit will indeed prompt us. Prompt us not only here in this room, but this week as we go through work, we go through school, we go home, we go in our neighborhoods, we're with our sports team players, and on the list goes, that You will continue to prompt us and we will be obedient. We give You the praise for all that You're doing and pray for courage and strength and boldness that will come only from the Holy Spirit to follow and obey those leadings and promptings in our lives this week. We give You the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.